yes, beatboxing stays.
We do keep the beatboxing in, Matt.
And, hey, did you
just
start?
To let you know, we started. Yeah, it's X Radio X, everybody. This is episode 9.
Hello.
We've almost made it to the double digits. I'm Jace.
I'm Matt. Thanks for joining us, folks.
Yeah, in case you never heard us before, this is our little podcast that we do. It's called X Radio X. We're rolling. It's a Saturday night. It's late.
Well, is at least.
Yeah. Well,
it's about the same time.
Well, it depends who you're talking to, I suppose, because it's after 10 o'clock. And when you're a man of a certain age, it's late.
And you are a man
of a certain age. I am a man of a certain age. So I'm here. I've got my glass of water because I'm responsible. I've got my glass of beer because I'm pretending I'm young. Oh. And I'm wearing my pajama pants. And instead of wearing the nice black and red plaid ones that I usually wear, Matt, with my slippers, I actually have on, because we have somebody we used to work with at the Radio X on tonight, I felt like I should wear something that I might have wore back then.
Okay.
So I have a No Effects shirt on.
Beautiful. Yeah. And I'm actually wearing a Radio X t-shirt right now.
Wow, how appropriate.
It's so really cool.
Before we introduce who we have with us,
we
have some, you know, some professional, you know, stuff we got to get out of the way.
Right, a courtesy to the sensitive ears.
Courtesy to anybody who has sensitive ears, who may not know what they clicked on.
Right.
That they're going to listen to. Last week, Matt, he did the disclaimer. So this week I wrote one, Matt. I hope you like it.
I'm ready. It's important information you're doing here.
It is. It's almost like a public service. So this episode of X Radio X is brought to you by the word shit. We about to talk some shit about some shit. We done. And that shit was a long ass time ago. So there you go. X Radio X, folks, brought to you by some shit.
I mean, what is shit paying us?
Shit.
Sounds right. Okay.
All right. So now that we've got that bit of professionalness out of the way.
Yeah, we have a very, very special guest. We're so excited.
And I believe she is a professional, and I want to say this before she gets on. Mm-hmm. She's a professional because she is the first guest we've had that their audio worked right away. Boom, it was there.
Yeah.
It was like,
she was raring to go.
Yep. So that person that is sitting here listening to all of this shit is it's Jen. You may know her as the Gentrix.
Gentrix.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you so much for bringing me on here.
Oh, it's super exciting for us. Yeah.
You guys are so accommodating, and you know, this is, I'm honored, and it's just really nice to talk to you guys.
It is
cool.
Nice.
Well,
we were kind of joking around before we got started that this is the first time we've spoke, I want to say, in 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
No, we've spoke online, like on Facebook and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's not the same.
You sound just the same. You sound exactly like you did.
You guys also sound exactly the same.
Huh. I think I feel like I sound a little bit lower.
Really?
I feel like my voice has gotten a little higher over the years. It's supposed to go the other way, but I feel like I've picked up more of high notes in my voice, not really
Does
the
that
low
happen?
Notes.
I don't think so.
Only to people like me, Jen. Take that for whatever you want.
Listened to you guys last year when you went up to Marquette, like at the onset of this pandemic.
And, cool.
I remember I was sitting at the dinner table with my family, and we were playing you guys because you were streaming, and it was so, I don't know, it was just so surreal. You know, the sun was going down, and like I remember like the outdoors looked so kind of like amberish. And I'm listening to this, you know, to you guys, and it was a great throwback. I mean, I have to say it was so comforting because, you know, who knew what the hell we were getting into here with this whole pandemic. And, you know, just to have this like nice surprise, you know, throwback. It was really good. And I think it was, I don't know, almost kind of healing during a time when there was a lot of uncertainty and, you know.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I feel very nice that we got to start your pandemic.
for here to kick off your pandemic for you.
Yeah. You kicked it off. Yes. Yeah. And I'm still like surprised you guys were able to actually, you know, drive up there and go into the radio station and do this show. I mean,
yeah,
you're almost everything down by then.
I don't know if we've told the story, but we almost didn't. I mean, up until after the show started, we weren't sure it was going to happen because we started like a half hour late or something.
It was something like that because, well, Jen, you'll remember back in the day. It was a long time ago, but it was back in the day. The station was open like 24 hours a day, pretty much. There was somebody there all the time. Mm-hmm. When Matt and Jeff and I walked up, we're all excited because we're older now, but in our head, it's just like it used to be, right?
Yeah.
That's what we think we're walking into.
Right.
We go in, doors locked, lights are off, nobody's around. We're like, how are we going to get in?
Yeah.
So Matt had to make a bunch of calls, and the person who was the station manager, she finally answered. She was at work. She couldn't answer right away because, you know, people got to make money.
Right.
But she's like, no, I'll be there. I'll let you guys in. You know, we're not stopping because of this COVID stuff. And she showed up, but we didn't get in until, it was like a half hour late or something like that. We tried. And she even let us stay a little bit longer than she was supposed to because she knew she was late getting there.
Yeah.
But it was nice.
Yeah, it was very, I don't know. When's the last time you've been up there? Have you been up there in a while?
The last time I went up there, gosh, I think it was 2015. I met up with Banjo Bonnie and Biff, and we all went over to the radio station with our families, and it was locked.
Yep. I've had that experience.
Right. So we got pictures of ourselves standing in front of the door with pouting, you know, going on. And
it's just such a different atmosphere than we were there. And I'm not saying I'm saying it's worse because, you know, everything's better when we were there.
Right.
That's how it works when you're older.
Yeah.
It was always better when you were there. Mm-hmm. And it was so weird to see that door closed and it not be, you know, 3:30 in the morning or something when you're expecting it to be closed. And that's why you're there, because somebody didn't show up.
Right.
But yeah, it was very like the inside of the station. I mean, it's still the same rooms and everything, but the studio area, it's backwards from the way it used to be. Like, you don't look out the window anymore. You look at the wall.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't understand it.
So people can just stare at your back while you're DJing.
Yeah.
It's nonsense.
If there's even anybody there to stare at you, I suppose.
Well, yeah, I guess there wouldn't be if you lock the doors all the time. And who cares where you're facing? Nobody comes in there anymore.
Right.
A lot of the CDs, though, that the Doc of Rock didn't steal are still there. Mm-hmm. So that's good.
So there's about 9 CDs.
So there's about 9 CDs left.
And I only feel okay talking about that because he started it. He brought it up on the podcast. So now I feel like it's fair game.
Yeah, I feel like it's fair game, too, because he is the one who said it, not us.
Right.
So, Jen, how did you get started? Like, what was your first inkling that you wanted to be in college radio?
Let's see. I think I heard I'm thinking of first names and I got to think of their radio names.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I heard Rude Dog and the Grandmaster on the radio.
Okay.
I wanted to do that. I wanted to.
So what was it about the music that they played, or was it about what they were saying on the air, or what made you think, well, that seems awesome?
I think it was mostly music. I wanted to play the music that I liked. And it was a little bit of the personality, though. I don't think at the time, I don't think it was too much personality because I was totally, you know, that totally seemed intimidating to me that on the radio and like talk to an unknown audience and try to be witty and, you know, at the same time, you know, have a seamless show and play your music and all that. But I signed up like the summer after, you know, after I first heard them. And I had a midnight to 3 show, just like everybody else.
Of course.
When they first started. And it was nice because I think I was on like right after a friend of mine And he usually just kind of stuck around, you know, for my show too. So, you know, it was convenient because we could just kind of like walk home together and then I could go off, you know, my separate, you know, direction and, you know. So I didn't feel like, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, being out in the middle of the night, you know, I didn't feel like unsafe or anything. So that was really nice.
Oh, nice. Heaven forbid. Hold on. You walked home at 3 a.m, Jeff?
Yeah. And I lived in those sugar villas.
And you lived to tell about it?
Yeah. And you know what? I used to see every once in a while the hugest something out there. It was like a raccoon or like a bear or something. And it was just kind of, you know, scurrying along, you know, in my path. I'm like, what the hell is that thing? And I never figured out what it was.
Sasquatch.
So either a big raccoon or a pretty small bear.
Yeah, something like that. Like on all fours, very gray, matted. Yeah.
Nice.
At 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, that was pretty terrifying.
But. So what apartments did you live in? You said you would walk home. So you didn't live on campus when you started there?
No. Just off of Wright Street. So like right, you know, those like little Sugarloaf villas.
Oh, so you live by the Wright Street
A-frames?
Party store.
Yeah.
The A-frames.
Yep. So
cool.
I walked from the University Center through campus to the A-frames.
So if you ever went to go get the keys from public safety, you were right there.
Exactly.
Nice.
Yep. That was pretty nice. Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
I know. Yeah. I feel those like they moved though at some point, didn't they?
What, public safety?
Yeah.
I don't know. I know that's where they were most of my time there. They were right on that corner was the parking lot for campus safety or whatever they called it. But it was it was right across the street from those A-frame houses.
Okay. Hmm. Yeah.
So what kind of music did you play when you started?
That wasn't where the keys were. Hold on. Whoa.
What?
That wasn't where the keys were over on Wright Street, was it?
Yeah.
I remember it being right across from the University Center over by Spooner Hall.
No.
Maybe I got this wrong.
You got it totally wrong.
Jason, no. Jace, were you actually like there before they moved from West Hall to University Center?
Jace started in 1960.
Yes. Me and Nikola Tesla, we got together. Thought this would be a good idea.
So back safety was a wagon that would just circle around the campus, and you just had to flag them down.
Yeah, they'd roll up. You'd hear the clip-clop of the horse's hooves, and they'd be like, so y'all need to get into that there radio station over there? Because little known fact, in the UP, public safety was actually from the Southwest. So
right. Then you would
die. The weird thing, it was just saloon doors. You could have just pushed them open.
I honestly don't remember public safety being over there. Because you guys are talking about where the Wright Street Party Store was, that's where those A-frames or Sugarloaf or whatever it was called.
It was set in though from the, it wasn't on Wright Street. It was on that cross street that was right across from those A-frame houses. So if you went to that corner store, that Wright Street, whatever it was called, it wasn't.
Oh, I'm very familiar with that store.
It wasn't right next to it. It was sort of set back a little bit down that road.
Yeah. It's Sugarloaf Road, right?
I believe so.
I think it's
kind of weird that I remember this fact because me and facts don't tend to go well together. But I feel very confident about this one.
I'm gonna have to say I'm gonna go with what you guys said because it's a democracy. That's 2-on-1. So yep. I'm gonna go. I remember public safety being across the street from the University Center next to Spooner Hall. That's what I remember. And Jen, to let you know, I think I started the fall after, like you started in the summer, I think you said. So I think I started the fall after.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? I think you might be right, Jace. I think you're both right, but I do remember a public safety being right across from University Center and then them being where Proof said, like right off of Wright Street. Like
they may have moved, yeah.
Because they were so, it was such a tiny office when it was across from the University Center. I'm remembering this because I don't know if you guys want to hear a funny story.
Yes.
Of course, we always want to hear funny stories.
I got in trouble one time because a CD was missing during my show, and it had been reported to public safety.
No.
Yes.
For real?
For no. real. For real. Yes.
Are you the only person that's ever actually been called out for taking a CD there?
Jeff, if you're listening to this, you need to go into hiding soon.
Yes. So I had to go to public safety, and I don't remember exactly why, though. I mean, I remember being at the counter and talking to somebody, and then basically them advising me to go through all of the CDs that I'd played, you know, during my shift, and see if I might have accidentally misfiled one. And as it turned out, that's what happened. So I didn't take a CD, but somebody did inventory right after my show. And
so all the thousands of people who have taken CDs from there and got away scot-free, and you were accused and you didn't even take one.
No.
And it actually turned up. That's
right.
Amazing.
Yeah, I found it. But it's funny because that was, I had only been on for a couple of weeks during that time. So
did you think you were going to get kicked out of school?
Yeah. Or I was going to be arrested. I was crying. The tears were streaming down my face. And I was like, sobbing. And and then I found it and I was so happy. But at the same time, I felt so stupid.
Do you remember what CD it was?
I don't
Wouldn't
remember
it be funny
what
it was if it was
anymore.
Etched in your brain.
Yeah.
I'll never forget.
I wish I had. For some reason, I'm thinking it was something stupid that I didn't even want to play, but somebody requested it. But I can't remember.
It was Bumblebee Tuna, wasn't it?
It was Bumblebee. Oh! It was Mephiscopheles for sure. With that big rooster on the CD cover.
See, I knew I could say that and Jen would totally be there. She's like, yes. Mephiscopheles, that damn song.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, we broke the CD, folks. It doesn't exist anymore.
Oops.
Aww.
Yep. Oh, it's filed right next to Snap Your Fingers, Snap Your Neck.
Oh, that's another one. You asked me to, Jace asked me to make a list of songs that reminded me of Radio X. And
yeah.
You just mentioned two. So
those are
two that we didn't really care for. That's...
So they're not all pleasant memories.
No. But what was with those requests? Like, how many times can you possibly hear Snap Your Fingers, Snap Your Neck?
It was the time, you know?
I don't know. And what do you do when that music's playing? It's not like it's really party music or, you know.
Well, you're going to the wrong parties, Matt.
Getting your swerve on music.
Right.
Now, in all fairness to Prong, I can't speak for Mephiscopheles, but in all fairness.
How many times have you started a sentence that said, in all fairness to Prong?
I think, hold on. I think just this one.
Okay,
but
continue.
So here's the second one. In all fairness to Prong, I hadn't listened to that song in, a good 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
And I put it on and I was like, it's actually not a bad song. And probably it's because I hadn't heard it in ages. But I do vividly remember people requesting that. And it was just like, no, God, all right. Have you never listened to this station before, ever? Like, is this your first time? Because then I get it if that's why you're requesting this. But we're verbally making jokes about not playing this song. Right. Stop it.
Maybe they were in on the joke at some point. Maybe after a while it was like, let's request this in an ironic sort of nobody wants to hear it way.
I kind of have a funny story to go along with this.
Yeah.
So I lived in Gant Hall at the time.
Yeah.
And he wasn't my roommate, but he was kind of like, you knew all the guys on the floor.
Yeah.
And he knew, when I started out, I was, like Jace the Ace playing metal. And he would call up my show. It was when Jeff and I were doing it together. And he would call us up. He'd like, hey, play some PJ. We're like, what?
PJ.
He's like, play some PJ. And you had to know him. This is how he talked. He was a dude from Wisconsin, big football player.
Pearl Jam?
Like, play some PJ. Yeah, Pearl Jam.
All right.
PJ rules. I'm like, dude,
When you're close friends with Pearl Jam, it's PJ.
Right. I would have started playing some PJ Harvey or something. Like, oh, cool. Yeah, I'd love to play some.
Yeah.
Like, we just played some Dark Throne or something. It's like, what? No, it doesn't even match.
Right. Wait, was he implying that going on. Pearl Jam was metal?
He just wanted to hear it. He was a nice guy, but He wasn't the brightest bulb in the pack. he was a very nice guy, and I know his name, and I'm fairly certain I know where he lives still.
Does he listen to the podcast?
Oh, probably not.
Okay.
I'd be shocked if he knew what a podcast was. There's a lot of things that would shock me if he was still doing them right now. But yeah, he would call. He was like, it was Pearl Jam, and what was the other one? He was constantly like, you should totally play this. It was some other very mainstream, a bad band, but very mainstream, like, you know, time and place guy, not during Thrash and Trash Tuesday.
Alice in Chains or something.
Yeah, and not even like the We Die Young, like the really, you know, the good stuff, you know.
You know, funny thing about Alice in Chains, again. I've been working on a project in my basement, and I realized that when I'm hammering nails, I always hammer nails into the opening of Man in the Box. Oh. You know how it goes, like, bump, bump, doom, ch, doom, 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 like that? That's how I draw. That's how I hammer. The first two taps are to set the nail.
Yeah.
And then the rest get it all the way in to the wall. I do it every single time. It's like some sort of obsessive compulsive disorder.
Do you
but
get
it's Man in the Box
in your head?
Yeah. I don't know why, but that's the one. When you listen to Man in the Box next time, if you ever hear it again and you hear that doo doo doo, you're going to picture me hitting things with a hammer.
Right.
You will.
I just listened to that song the other day.
Well, I was hammering.
All jokes aside, I really like that song. It's one of those, you know, when you haven't heard it in a, you know, in a long time, you're like, oh, that is a good song. There's a reason they got popular.
And have you listened to any of the new singer? Have you heard any of their music since they got the new guy?
Singer?
Yeah.
Oh man.
It's different.
I have heard it. It's good, but it's you can tell it's Alice in Chains because of the music, because Jerry Cantrell, you know, he's who he is. The new singer, I honestly can't remember his name. It's good, but it's not as, you know, it's not ingrained, emblazoned into my mind like, you know, Layne Staley was.
Yeah. Really? I mean, he is Alice in Chains.
He really is.
Yeah, without him and essentially him and Jerry Cantrell, it's, I mean, Jerry Cantrell can carry on the sound of it. But yeah, that voice that's what you listen to.
You can't replicate the voice. No way.
Right. Well, I mean, can you imagine like if they, you know, if Dave Grohl and Chris Novoselic decided to just, you know, get a new singer for Nirvana?
No.
I mean,
No,
that would be weird. Why is it? So that's a really good, that's a good question. And we've kind of, I think, talked about this before. I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast, but bands who have replaced singers.
Yeah.
The whole dynamic is, well, of course, these guys are in a band. They may not know what else to do, and this is how they make their money. So, yeah, I'd want to keep making money.
Right.
But at the same time, you're never going to be the same thing.
No, the personality is gone.
Yeah, exactly. Like Stone Temple Pilots have a new singer. It's okay stuff, but it's not Stone Temple Pilots. Even when they had
Chester Bennington.
What's that?
Guy from Linkin Park.
Yeah, when they had him, Chester. Yeah, it wasn't the same. It wasn't the same music. I mean, he did a decent job. He's a good singer, but it was not. It was not. They should just start a new band. But then they're basically starting from scratch because their built-in audience is not necessarily going to.
Yeah, now all your marketing's gone.
Right.
Right.
That's a tricky situation.
So can you guys think of a band where the lead singer left, died, whatever, and they got a new lead singer and it was better?
AC/DC.
Well,
there, Tiger. I wouldn't say it was better. It was different. It was good.
Better. I mean, it was better.
You're lucky that this is at a distance, sir.
It was different in a better way.
Punches would be flying.
We will have words next time we see each other.
So aside from the obvious AC/DC, is there any other one is what you're asking me? Can I name another one?
Can you name another one that's actually true? Bon Scott's a legend. Just saying.
Jen,
it can even be
anything?
A totally obscure band. It doesn't have to be something that people know.
I can't think of anything.
Are you saying this because you have one in your pocket and you're hoping we're getting to guess it, or you don't?
Totally, totally blank. And just this conversation brought that up to me. I was like, well, we can probably come up with a lot of bands where the you know, lead singer change lended to something not as good as it was originally.
Genesis.
Oh, right. Oh. Because Peter Gabriel was the singer.
Right.
Okay. And then they went to Phil Collins.
Exactly. I would argue they had more success. Wouldn't you think? With Phil Collins? Oh,
totally. Totally. That's not even an argument.
They do, but there are big Genesis fans out there who will argue with you and tell you that they were way better when Peter Gabriel was the singer.
Yeah, there's like five of them. So.
Yeah.
There's probably only, 10 people left in the world that know that know Peter Gabriel was actually the first singer.
Is that the only one?
So hold on. What was Genesis? Oh, it was the big Peter Gabriel album with them, or with when he was with Genesis. Was that Selling England by the Pound?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's amazing if that's correct.
You know,
I'm impressed by you.
I was out shopping, like record shopping with my husband on Friday. We both took the day off because it's his birthday weekend.
Awesome.
And I found a bunch of Genesis records, some of the old ones. I'm like, Brad, do you think we should get these? And he's like, I've never really been much of a Genesis fan. <I'm> like,
And you looked at him, you're like, so you don't like music is what you're telling me. Okay, got it.
So you were buying actual vinyl records.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Yep. Thank you. Okay.
Yes.
Because I get ripped on for buying CDs.
Oh.
Because apparently now you're just supposed to stick music directly into your brain hole and not have anything physical to stand for it. And I like buying the actual thing. Now, I don't have vinyl anymore, but I still buy the CD because I like having the physical music with a track list and maybe some liner notes and things like that. I like having that.
I think it's nice too because you're supporting the artist, right?
There you go.
You could still, I mean, you can subscribe to Apple or Amazon and listen, just as you said, to whatever you want. But you can also buy the CD or the record, whatever, and you're supporting the artist, and they can continue making stuff.
Now, do you buy albums from bands, or do you buy music that you have not yet heard, or do you wait to see if you like it and then purchase it?
I usually listen to it, on Apple first, and then
but then you still buy it.
And then I still buy it. Yeah. Yep.
I think that's fair. I think that's the best way to do it, because then you can listen to see if you're going to enjoy it, and then you definitely purchase.
Right.
So what did you get by it?
Oh my gosh, you guys are going to flip. Okay. So we went to this place that it's kind of like a record store that's for helping. It's kind of like an occupational therapy type of record store.
Cool. So, dig.
Yeah. They hire people that, have been through the court systems, and just kind of need to get back on their feet again. And everybody there was really nice.
Well, what's the name of it? You can say the name of it.
I think
if you remember, sorry.
All Together Now. It's in Toledo.
Cool. Oh, it sounds like a great thing, but it's in Ohio.
Yeah. It was really cool, though, and the records were cheap. Dirt.
Hey, it's right between us, buddy. We should go visit it.
I suggest that. I think it was a great place, and everybody was really nice and very helpful. But, okay, so I decided to get a Hank Williams, the first greatest hits, and it was $4. Cool. And it,
excellent.
The record was in perfect condition, and it sounded good. We just listened to it last night. I also got something by Merle Haggard, and I can't tell you the name of the record because I don't remember it, but I haven't listened to it yet. And then my husband found this record by this old goth band from the 80s that I used to listen to called The Fields of Nephilim. And why the hell this was in a record store in Toledo, Ohio, I have no idea. But it was like $4 as well. I'm like, wow.
That's cool.
So I got that.
The Fields of Nephilim?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're very, very, okay.
Are they like 80s synth goth?
No. In the 80s, there was like a little separate goth genre that was almost kind of like Western goth. and there was a lot cowboy of like, slide guitar and stuff in it. And like the band members would wear like fedoras and like, you know, those long duster jackets. And but they were usually from the UK, wow. not from America. And that's
I'm making
that's,
notes.
Yeah.
Western goth.
But then they would like sing like rah! So I mean it's kind of like kind of like early death metal. The lead singer of the Fields of Nephilim to me always reminded me of the Undertaker from WWF,
okay,
CW, whatever he was on.
Yeah.
Like whenever nice. I saw the Undertaker, I thought of that band because I mean that was basically the style, you know.
All right.
So yeah, so this was $4. We checked the value of it later on. There's this app called Discogs. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of see what people are selling stuff for, and what they're getting for it. And it ended up like it's worth $20.
Nice. So, really? Yeah. That's really cool.
Like I scored pretty big.
You did, for sure.
So then we went to this other place where they actually have like new stuff that's like wrapped, and you know, it actually costs, you know, more money. It costs
like on 100 grain vinyl like and regular price. Stuff.
Yeah. And they have like a couple of like reissued Metallica records, so you could get like the
those just came out pretty recently, didn't they?
Yeah, like Kill 'Em All, and
they were like the top five highest selling vinyl records like a couple weeks ago because they released them all at once, and then people started buying them, and they were like the number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, I think.
Yeah, I'm curious to listen to it. I just have a feeling by the time you get to the third or fourth pressing, it's not gonna, you know, sound as good.
No.
So I'm hesitant, unless I can find one for cheap.
And are they pressed off the masters, like the originals, or are they pressed off the digital latest recording?
Right. Remasters? Who even knows? You know,
it's a good point. Do you guys want to know a fun fact about vinyl records?
Sure.
You probably already know this because you collect them, but I've actually been working on this project in my basement, and I've been using a lot of big 4x8 sheets of PVC. Do you know what PVC stands for?
Yeah.
Polyvinyl chloride. Do you know what records are made of? Polyvinyl chloride.
So can we play your walls?
I was thinking about it. Because a lot of the times when I'm cutting it with a either with a circular saw or with a Dremel and a really small blade Dremel, and I thought if I could cut a small enough groove, I wonder if I could play music on this.
Right.
I don't think it would work, but it's worth
that would
a shot.
Be really cool.
They could hear the anger that you had at the moment while you were trying to get this damn thing put up.
They could. They would hear my rage. It would sound a little bit like Western goth.
Exactly.
So Jen, yes. it's been a long time since we've seen each other, but remembering the Matt, the proof rock that we knew back in the 90s.
Yeah.
Did you ever imagine him in the basement with a Dremel building project? It's okay to say no, because I never did.
I never have.
I mean, did we really ever like imagine seeing any of us, you know,
working adulting? No.
Projects? No. Doing adult stuff? No.
Mm-mm. No. I think I remember being in your apartment once that you shared with Sluice.
Yeah.
You guys had that crazy chair that was like
the worm.
The worm. Yeah.
Yep. I miss that.
What happened?
We all miss the worm.
I don't miss all the germs that were probably on it, but I miss it. It was so cozy. What happened to it? So I think that's lost in the ether. I don't know exactly when it was disposed of, but it was either donated to somebody because they wanted it more than I did, or we just thought it needs to be gone because it's gross. I don't know. But
did
it was
Jeff steal?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I think it was either had to be put down or somebody was
it finally caught rabies.
Yeah, we had to put it out of its misery. We took it out in the backyard and shot it. Or for some reason in the back of my mind, I want to say somebody was moving out to their own place and we gave it to them
because so they didn't had furniture. Like
but I could
I
be,
like yeah. that story.
That I don't know why that seems in the back of my head that that happened, but for some reason I feel like someone may still have it.
Yeah, let's just like say that that's what happened to it.
It could be slowly slinking its way to Pennsylvania to rejoin with me. For all I know, it could be, you know, taking the turnpike or some of the muddier, swampier areas to get to here from there, and it's just taking a long time. But and I've moved around a lot. It might have, you know, lost course a few times.
Maybe it went to Nevada first.
It might be on its way back.
He's not here.
Yeah.
Got a couple rhinestones sewed onto it.
Little patches from all the places it's visited.
What I think is cool about this, what I think that is cool about this story, Jen, is that almost everybody I've talked to, including myself, when we talk about the place where Matt and Sluice lived, everybody asks, so what happened to that chair, that piece of furniture, that the worm?
Yeah.
That was the piece of furniture that I remember most from college.
Yeah.
Even I remember even more than the couch at the radio station, the diseased couch.
Safe to say it was one of the most memorable things about me. Oh, that guy that had the worm.
Oh, Matt, there's a lot of things I remember about you. I'm just, it's not that kind of podcast, so.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Jen, I used to sleep in that worm all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was your home away from home.
Thursday night, I'd get all messed up at the bar because, you know, Matt didn't drink. So he would drive our butts around to all these places.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And come home and I'd pass out in the worm.
Yeah. Good times.
Which, taken out of context, could mean a whole lot of different things.
Passing out in the worm. Were you making air quotes when you said that?
No, I actually wasn't. I was reaching for my beer that's next to me.
Passing out in the worm, if you get my meaning. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. Doing a little passing out in the worm. So, Jen, I was super excited because as we were planning for this show, Jace told me that you were gonna bring some music.
Right.
And I have to talk about this because it got me both nervous and excited at the same time.
Okay.
So I didn't know, first off, I didn't know that you were going to have music that you were working on, which is I'm even more excited about. But then you had an idea about a band that you wanted to discuss, which we can discuss in just a second. But we found out that just playing music from this band was not going to be easy.
Yeah.
In fact, it's technically not allowed because we don't pay a bunch of money to license to play music. So what I did on a whim, which I just thought, well, what could go wrong? I reached out to Fire Records and I asked them, I said, hey, we're these nobody dudes who have this podcast and we're interviewing someone who's a big fan of this band. Is there any way we could maybe play some music by them on the podcast? And a day went by and nothing. And then the next day got an email from, I'm going to just say his name's Johnny at Fire Records. And he said, oh yeah, go ahead.
Awesome.
So, we can't play like tons of it, but he was like, yeah, that's totally fine. So, if for some reason he were to tune in to see what we were doing, thanks, Johnny, for giving us permission.
Thank you.
And I do have an email, so it's in writing that we're allowed to play the music that you sent me.
Okay.
He's got it in the ones and zeros. They can't take it back now.
Exactly. Right. It's official. Right. And then also you sent me some music that you now did you write those, or is that someone's music that you were playing, or you wrote it?
Yep. Yeah.
That's really cool.
I wrote those songs. And I think those songs are almost 20. I think they are 20 years old because what we were at Radio X 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay.
Something like that.
Not too far after that. I started writing my own music, and the two songs that I actually sent you were from that album. And it happened to be, you know, it was around this time last year. And I noticed that there were bands or, you know, people just in general that would just kind of tune in on Facebook and play something. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it was nice to see that because, you know, it's still kind of like kept, you know, kept me feeling like I was, you know, at least in touch with the world. And I thought, you know, I can totally do that myself. So then I started playing these songs and they came back to me pretty quickly. So I was able to, you know, I would play one while giving my, you know, 2.5-year-old a bath or, you know, and when I was out in her treehouse, sitting up there with like an old, like her old guitar, playing a song. And, I would just post them on Facebook and I got lots of like great feedback from my friends and,
oh, cool.
It was fun. And yeah, so I was able to find them and I sent them to you. And thank you so much, by the way, for separating the video from the audio. I could not figure that part out.
So that's another thing. Okay. So, I get the email that you have stuff and I'm like, okay, cool. And so then when you send them to me and they were on video,
yeah,
I was like, all right, I feel like maybe I might know how to do this. So they were MP4s. I have a program called VLC. I don't know if you guys have ever used that.
Yep.
But it's kind of like a program that does everything, but not super intuitively. Right. So the video you sent me was pretty easy. It has a conversion thing. You can just convert to MP3. So I did that, didn't even listen to it, ripped them to MP3 and threw them on the website so we could on the Zen thing. So we could play them, which we'll do in just a second.
Cool.
So then the YouTube you sent me was a little trickier. So that, because it's on YouTube, it's a streaming deal.
Yeah.
You had to open a stream. And then what I had to do was open VLC. I dumped it down onto a vinyl record. And then I played it through some headphones into a DAT player.
Right.
And then I drew a picture of it and scanned that into my computer.
You drew
only at the part, only at the part where you said I drew a picture of it. Did I realize you're full of it at the moment? I was like, "What is he doing?"
So you guys are going with me on that.
I'm just on the train riding along with the story. He's just, and I'm like, picture. What is he doing? Oh,
yeah,
he's full of it right now. Okay,
it was a little trickier, but I think we have everything that you sent. And okay. I don't know if you want to do your stuff first and then we'll talk and then you can intro the band that you want to talk about. Is that cool? Or do you want to do it in the other direction? Or
why don't we actually, I like what you said. Let's play my stuff first and then we can talk about the band.
So this is a video converted to audio. So you guys, everyone listening will miss the visual things that she mentions.
There was a whole TikTok dance and everything that went
right. Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
I can just mention real quickly. I was wearing like a blue dress with red leggings, and I looked very patriotic. And
yes,
I mentioned in the video,
very American.
Yes,
that was excellent. I'm sorry that people are going to miss that, but you'll describe it, so they'll get the gist.
That's right.
So before I hit play on one of these, I have two files. I have. They're appropriately labeled Gen 1, Gen 2. So
I'm not sure which one would go first.
Yeah, normally. I don't know what one's what. And Jen, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Because I remember back in the day, you were in a few different bands when we were in college. And even towards the end, you know, you played with some of our friends and things like that. Was this, and then I remember some online stuff you did. Boy, it'd have been a while ago.
Yeah.
So is this from when you were doing, I hope I get the name right, because I'm either going to sound really cool or like, what the hell? Was it Juniper Baby?
No.
Or is that not, that's not this stuff?
No, actually the proper name for this stuff would have been Flashing Red Airplane.
Oh, I remember that one too.
Flashing Red Airplane.
Yeah.
I remember that one. Now that you say it, I totally remember that.
Yep.
All right. Well, so, Jace, you have it if you want to fire. So basically it starts with a little intro and then the music will just
So yeah, I have no idea how this, I haven't listened to it at all yet. So I'm just going to hit play.
Okay.
And I'm going to sit back and we'll wait for it to finish. Let's see what happens, folks. This is Gen 1. She'll give you the proper name after after it's over.
Yeah, I'll have to listen to it because I didn't label my stuff very well.
Hi. So I didn't do any laundry this week, so the only leggings I could find were these red ones, so I happen to be extremely patriotic today. So here is a song I'm going to play called Long Way Down, and you might notice that you happen to be in our lovely library here, so enjoy.
That's our office.
Very cool. That was Jen.
Nice. That was great. When I was listening to it earlier today, I thought, and I don't know if this is anywhere close to what you were influenced by or if you see the similarities, but I was thinking like Jets to Brazil. Ooh. And a little bit of like Postal Service. That was the two things that reminded me of. I don't know if that's, if you like some of the chord changes were very Jets to Brazil to me, but it was awesome. I thought that was a cool song.
Thank you. Gosh, I haven't thought about Jets to Brazil in some time.
Yeah, I love that band.
It's so good. Postal Service is pretty cool too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
What'd you think, Jace?
I liked it a lot. It actually fits in very much to the type of music I've been listening to lately. Yeah. I listen to a lot of like acoustic singer-songwriter type stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. Now, granted, I listen to a lot of other stuff too, but that seems to be, I don't know if it's just where I'm at or whatever is going on.
Right.
Yeah. But there's just a lot of like one person and their guitar singing.
Right. Mm-hmm. You have been into that a lot lately. That's true.
And I have been. I have been for a few years, and that fits right in there. That was very, I don't know. It was good. And I'm trying to place exactly, because I feel like that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to like say, this is like Matt did. Like, oh, this is very Jets Brazil.
I don't know if you have to, but that was my feeling. Was when I was listening to it, but
well, now I feel stuff. Like I have to because you had such a good. I was like, oh, that's good. That's way better than anything I got. I can just say oh, I really liked it.
I think that's sufficient. You liked it. That's sufficient.
No, I did.
So what else we got? What's the number? Do you know what the number two then is? Since you heard number one.
Oh my gosh, I should know this. But the problem was I was kind of going, kind of hemming and hawing about one or the other, and I'm not sure what one I finally sent to you.
All right. So we can be surprised.
So it's going to be a surprise for all of us.
Excellent. Yep.
All right.
Including
here it is. This is Jen number two.
Hi. So I didn't do any laundry this week, so.
That's the same one.
That's the same one. Did I send you the same one twice?
I clicked two different links, guys. It must be the same one.
That's okay.
So that was the remix. That was remix. Yep. Yeah, it was not suitable for airplay. We couldn't do it.
Darn it.
Yeah. Yeah, the drum bass was just about to kick in.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like it's a long way down to go blank yourself and, you know, get out of here. All right. No, that was a technical. That's the only two I have, though. So I have two of the same one. Good thing it was good. We could listen to it again.
Yeah, it was really good. It was really good.
So there, that's what you get, Jen. This is the first time Matt and I are doing this.
We're so excited to play real music.
I'm really excited that you guys were cool about playing it and that you converted it for me.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, and this doesn't require a copyright, right? Because I
exactly.
Here you go. You guys can play it.
Thanks.
So you guys could send all your dollars to Jen at Jen Street, Michigan.
Actually, that made me think of something for you guys. Do you guys like have any kind of podcast donation type of thing?
Nah, we've talked about it, but and when I say we, my lazy butt hasn't gotten around to doing any of that stuff yet.
Yeah.
And we're not comfortable with nudity either.
Yeah. Well, there was I was actually talking about a guy I work with has listened to all of our episodes and was he's very supportive. His name's Jacob. So Jacob, if you're listening, what's up, Jacob? He was even saying something about like a Patreon or something. And I said, you know what? At this point, a lot of the people who are listening to us are our, you know, there's people who aren't our friends and family.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't want our friends and family giving us money to do this.
Exactly.
But I would totally buy you guys some donuts. I mean, like the dark poutine guys, you know, they have like something like, oh, so-and-so just from Alberta just sent us money for donuts.
Oh, that's cool.
We could buy you guys donuts.
Matt was on keto, so I'd have to eat all the donuts. So sorry, Matt.
I'm off the wagon. I can eat anything now.
Oh, you're enjoying pizza again, huh?
Oh, pizza, nachos.
Sometimes nachos on your pizza.
Nachos.
Nice.
I love nachos.
But yeah, we have talked about the Patreon thing, and I think we'll get there.
It really comes down to what we would offer somebody. I feel like it would be... It would be mutually beneficial if there was something extra that we would say, toss us a dollar and we'll toss you a
like a
sweatband or something.
Like a couple of the Patreons that I'm a part of. I don't know. I've brought this podcast up before on here that's called Going Off Track.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm part of their Patreon. And they kind of started out. Now, granted, they're both musicians, so they started out with a little bit of money. It's not like they had to have the Patreon to do it, but it kind of helps the production costs and everything. Cause you know, even their money is limited at some point.
Sure.
And, but it took them probably a good 4 months, 5 months to even get anything quote unquote extra on the Patreon, because they're just like, I'm not sure what should we put on here?
Mm-hmm.
And so now they do like a Thursday night Discord chat where it's live. Like you can get on, their Patreon is still low enough that you can get on with them and actually talk to them about things.
Oh. Yeah.
I still haven't had the, you know, the guts to get on there and totally self promote on them. Cause that I think they would probably frown on that, but you know, whatever.
You would just mention it nonchalant, like without,
I would mention really it smooth. Like a CrossFitter mentions CrossFitting
exactly. You know,
every 30 seconds.
I find myself really trying to not say, hey, I have a podcast to anybody who I talk to. So I think that you would be able to say it without even realizing you said it.
Yeah. So that's a really long story to get to. Yeah, we're working on it.
Yeah.
Working on it. Yeah.
Definitely.
So to start, before you played, we played your song, the first one. You said something that made me think of something that I was been a big fan of. This whole pandemic thing has kind of sucked because everything I really like to do got shut down.
Right.
And pretty much going to concerts.
Yeah.
That's what I like to do.
Exactly.
So, but what became a cool thing over this pandemic was all of the artists doing like the bedroom covers.
Right.
And
yeah.
Like there's this one group called 2 Minutes to Late Night.
Mm-hmm.
And they have done all of these bedroom covers, and they're fantastic. They're kind of strange, but they're fantastic. Like, and you know, I was sold from the get-go because the host's name is Guarsenio Hall. How can you not like that? And he dresses up in corpse paint in a suit. He's fantastic. Jen, if you've never checked out 2 Minutes to Late Night, I think it might be up your alley.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fun. I like it too. And I'm not,
Like they've got on all kinds of people, all the way down from Shauna Potter from War on Women. I don't want to say all the way down to like she's the lowest one they'd get, but from somebody, because I'm sure not a lot of people have heard of War on Women.
No, nope,
all the way up to like Les Claypool and Marty Friedman have been a part of some of them.
And that's one of the cool things that I like about some of those quarantine concerts or quarantine cover songs, because they'll start with like one guy singing and they'll tell you who it is, you know, just so people know. And then they'll like cut to the next person's part and you'll be like, what the? It's Les Claypool. And then they'll cut to somebody else and it'll be like the dude from Filter singing. And then it'll cut to someone else and like all these different people from bands that are either not around anymore or like are super, you know, indie or even some that are really popular. And you'll be like, what's that? Who was that? And then it'll cut to somebody else. It's really fun.
Like one of my favorite ones that the guys from 2 Minutes to Late Night did was Rush's Anthem.
Oh.
And what was cool about it was they had Les Claypool playing bass, but they also had Claudio from Coheed and Cambria was singing. And I always thought that would, and it ended up being really good. It's also their most viewed one that they've done. They finally got over 1 million views on it.
Mm.
So, and all the Patreon or almost all the Patreon money that the host, he goes by Guarsenio Hall, but his name's Jordan Olds, has paid and donated to a lot of these groups. It paid for all of this production, paid the musicians who came to play.
Cool.
And all that stuff. So, and they have a ton of Patreon subscribers.
Hmm.
And I'm wondering if after this whole thing is, I don't know, we're to where I hate saying to our new normal, but if that's where we're going, like if this is going to change for some of those groups that, because I'm going to bet there's some of these folks that have made more money doing this than they ever made being on the road.
Wow.
And I wonder if that'll change. You know, they'll be like, man, I kind of wish this missed this whole bedroom cover thing.
Yeah.
So you're considering like the production cost and traveling expenses and all sorts of, like, you're thinking net.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After
maybe I'm reaching a little bit, saying some of these folks have made more during this time than they ever made on the road, but it's probably possible.
Oh yeah. I would think if you are traveling with the big band and you have a lot of equipment and you have to, you know, do hotels and whatever you're traveling in and all the people that lug the stuff for you. And when you factor all of that in and you could just do it in your living room, anything other than your time is pure profit. You know, like you sat in your living room for an hour and played a song or a few songs, I guess, or 1 hour long song. And then anyone who gave you money for it, that's all profit.
Right.
You don't have to make up any loss there. So I bet there are people that have made more money. I mean, like, look at Billy Joe Armstrong. He did that album of quarantine covers and actually released the album, but he played all those cover songs and, gosh, I'm going to buy that album. I think it was awesome. He did some really good songs.
I haven't heard one. I didn't even know he did that.
Yeah, it was really
learning
good.
That just now.
He did Manic Monday with Susanna Hoffs.
Really?
And yeah, it was cool. And he did one song with his kids. They were playing guitar and bass, I think, in the background. And the songs that he picked were really interesting. It was definitely worth checking out. What did he call him? I can't remember what the name of the album is, but it's coming out. If it's not out already, it's coming out soon. But it's it was good. Good stuff.
I actually, I was on the internet this morning. I was on the internet. I logged in.
I was surfing the net.
I was surfing on the internet. Dialed in. I saw this article. I think it was in New York Times. And it was about Spoon. The band Spoon and how they had done two Tom Petty covers.
Is this the Tom Petty covers?
Yeah,
I saw that too. Yeah.
I didn't read the article. I was listening last night. I was listening to my favorite radio station. I'm going to plug them again. WEQX out of Vermont.
Yeah.
And they were actually talking about it and they were playing them.
So what did they do? Breakdown, I think, and something else.
Face in the crowd. Face in the crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Such a beautiful song.
Yeah. And Spoon's good. I like Spoon. There was another song. One of their songs I really liked. I can't remember the name of it, but they're good.
We saw them open for Beck, not last year, but the year before. They were really good. And Cage the Elephant.
You went to that show?
Yeah.
I did not go. My coworker went to that, and he after that, he's like, Beck was good, but Cage the Elephant was great.
Yeah. I didn't think they were too bad. My husband wasn't a big Cage the Elephant fan. And, he was like, well, I'm here to see Spoon and I'm here to see Beck.
And I'm just going to take a nap.
And that's it.
Right. So we actually ended up hanging out in the bar area and then watched Cage the Elephant on the screen. I thought they were pretty decent.
Because what my coworker was telling me is the guy, the lead singer, he's like, wow, he's really on that. I mean, he went to lead singer school and he's all over that stage and engaging the audience.
Now, do either of you guys remember the band 3 Mile Pilot or Black Heart Procession? I guess I'm giving you two bands, but do you guys remember?
3 Mile Pilot sounds really familiar, but I can't.
3 Mile Pilot sounds familiar. Black Heart Procession, it's not ringing a bell.
Okay. I think the lead singer from Cage the Elephant sounds like the lead singer from 3 Mile Pilot. And that might not be a very popular opinion. But when I first heard Cage the Elephant on the radio, I'm like, did the guys from 3 Mile Pilot finally like get into like mainstream? This is so weird. And then it wasn't them. It was just, you know, it was a younger band, really. Which
you can have hot takes like that on this show. You can have hot takes like that.
Yeah.
Making another note.
I just wrote down 3 Mile Pilot. Got to go listen because I remember the name, but I'm not remembering what they sound like.
Wave, there's a wave on the ocean. If you ever remember that one.
It's the Beach Boys, Jen. Come on.
Oh, man.
How did I get those mixed up?
Oh, that was Brian Wilson. Oh.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So do you guys, now we're going to take another little aside. So you guys go do it, because that was at Pine Knob, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, DTE for all of the younger folks. It's Pine Knob, if you know anything.
Right.
Yeah, that was a couple summers ago.
I think that's the last concert we went to, period. Like
we were trying to play that game the other day at the house. Yeah. What was the last show we went to?
Oh, I have no idea.
I think my last one, and I like them, so I don't care what people think of me for saying. I think my last one was Panic at the Disco.
Oh, cool.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I'm totally a dad when I go to that show. I like stand there and I'm just like, I either drove the minivan, which I did, or I'm a narc. So watch out, guys.
Mm. You're totally a narc. For sure.
But yeah, Amy and I were talking about that, and she's like, the last one I went to was at Wendler Arena here in Saginaw. She went and saw Disturbed and, oh shoot, who was that other band that opened for them? We've seen them before. Now I'm thinking out loud. You guys are like, I don't know. Who did you see?
We're with you. We're thinking they got quietly.
Their lead singer is Maria Brink or Bank.
Huh?
Now it's, oh, I can see her in my head.
Maria Bink?
Brink, I think. She's blonde. She's.
Type that.
She's singing for the band.
She's singing for the band. She's blonde.
This moment?
In this moment, yes.
Ah.
Huh.
I've seen them a couple times. But yeah, Amy went with her cousin to see that. She got VIP for her birthday or something along those lines. So she called Amy. She's like, you want to go with me? She's like, yeah, I'll go to a concert. So they
went to that,
and they got to meet the guys from Disturbed and all of that fun stuff when you get VIP. So, but
they've been nominated for a Grammy.
In this moment or Disturbed?
In this moment.
Oh.
Never heard of them.
No, I haven't either. I feel old.
Well, what I remember most about them, since you guys remember nothing, I'll totally carry this part.
Nice.
is she had a lot of costume changes. I mean, wardrobe changes, excuse me. Because we saw her and her band in this moment open for Rob Zombie. It was Rob Zombie, Korn in this moment.
Nice.
And it was an interesting crowd, I'm just going to say.
Yeah.
It was a seriously interesting crowd.
The last concert I went to, I just remembered, the last concert I went to was Duran Duran and Chic.
Oh, wow.
And that wasn't in the 80s. It was a couple years ago.
Did you get out of your Sony time traveler when you got done? And
they were awesome. Duran Duran did not let down, for sure.
See, the last concert I was supposed to see, that I still have tickets for.
Yeah.
Was to go see My Chemical Romance at Little Caesars.
Are they rescheduled?
It's postponed. Okay. So that way, when they do whatever they do, we'll still have tickets for it.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember my stepdaughters were freaking out when they heard, because that's right in their wheelhouse. And I'm like, I dig MCR. I like a lot of their stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you call them MCR?
Yeah, I call them MCR, especially nice. When we hang out on Saturdays.
Hey, MCR, it's me, Jace.
Yeah, hey, MCR. Are we going to rock band today? You and the bros, we're going to throw down. Don't worry, I'm okay. I'm not okay, I promise. Wink, wink.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, see what I did there? You're going to go far, kid. And you see, now I got to just gonna say song names so I
might as well just
relevant
sing.
15 just years them. Ago.
Fantastic. Well, you know what we have to get to, because we're already 108. We have to get to the band that we were going to play, because we got permission.
We have to. Yeah, so this was the part. This was the part was when we were talking to Jen. It was like, you know, bring up things that make you think of Radio X, why you wanted to be at Radio X, the, right. you know, the feeling, the idea, the whole, why we were there. Okay. And she was like, I really want to talk about this. So go.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. Okay.
Take it away.
So, when I was in college, when I was on the radio, I was into a lot of music that was noisy, and the more chaotic and noisy, you know, the better. I mean, especially with distorted screaming. I don't listen to that kind of stuff as much anymore, but at the time it was like, yeah. And so there was this one song I used to play the hell out of. And I actually just played it yesterday, upstairs, and, it totally had the same effect. I just wanted to dance around and go, wah! And, that's what this song is. It's half Japanese and it's the first song off of the album Hot. And the song is called Drums Straight. And the drums in this song are amazing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So Jace, you got it?
I got it. So hopefully this is the right one. And hopefully we do have the right permissions to play this.
If Jen starts talking about her wardrobe, we have messed up.
That's right.
Okay. If there's anything about laundry, we're in trouble. So here it is. It's half Japanese on X Radio X.
Oh, yeah.
I'm wearing leggings.
Oh, yeah, this is college radio.
Yeah. I mean, you can hear him in the background like, ah!
I can hear the calls already. Will you guys play some PJ?
Yes. Or can you please play music that doesn't suck?
You guys got anything good?
Get your keys, get your net. All right, here, guys. This is the Peace Davies song. Vocal processor is like a little kid's handheld toy.
See, I was thinking they were screaming into their guitar pickups.
Ooh, they could have. What I love about this is that the lead singer, Chad Fair, I think was 40 when this came out. So, I mean, he was still totally punk rocker.
Yeah. I think when I was looking at this, they came out like in 77 or something.
Yeah.
77? Really?
Yeah, because I want to say their first album was something like right when I was born, August of 77.
This sounds like something that you would find out there today on Bandcamp.
Yeah. So good, right?
It is. And this is, if you would have put a CD together and said Radio X songs.
Yeah.
I would have been like, yep, that fits.
For sure.
Totally fits.
Yeah. Oh, you're playing the second song now.
Is that also...
I just hit click because okay. I didn't know if we were supposed to keep going. So Sorry, I guess we're not going to get the second one because we'd have to go through the first one again.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
Can I tell you guys one more thing about this band?
Well, definitely.
Actually, the guy there, Jad Fair, my husband and I saw him at the Blind Pig a couple of years ago, and I think he was doing like some solo stuff. He was so awesome. I mean,
really?
He was so like slap happy the whole time. Like, he just had this big smile on his face, and he was wearing, I thought it was really funny, but he was wearing some very comfortable shoes. They were Crocs.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, yeah,
wow.
I'm a punk rocker. I'm creative, and I don't give a shit what you guys think about my footwear. Here I am in my Crocs, and I'm going to dance around and entertain you.
There you go, Jace.
That was so cool.
Oh, man. See, Crocs, this is a big problem for
he
me.
He can rock out, and he doesn't care what kind of shoes
he can rock
wears.
Out with his Crocs out. There you go, Crocs. There you go. Just call me for your marketing. Now, there's a big discussion in my house about Crocs, and I am anti-Crocs.
Are they gave up on life shoes?
I don't want them. And everybody in my house, I think everybody... No, Elliot doesn't have any of this because his feet were too big. Mm. We couldn't find any big enough to fit him at the store. But everybody but me and Elliot don't have Crocs. Or they have Crocs. We don't have Crocs. Now, I did give in and buy some comfortable Skechers boots because I'm a man of a certain age.
Yeah.
But
and they're fine.
And they're fine. They're fine. They work great. They're boots. They tie up. They're good.
Hey,
he was on stage with Crocs, really.
Right. Yeah.
So do you know the whole thing going on about people having comfortable shoes, like in the music? There was like a big story about this not that long ago.
What?
No, I remember that.
I don't know. I mean, we're all people of a certain age. I don't know how much you guys know about a fellow by the name of Machine Gun Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So apparently I think he was making a joke. I didn't listen to the interview because I frankly don't care that much, but apparently he was going on about these groups that he was when he was on the Warp tour with them. Like, okay. He's like, there's no rock stars anymore. They're up on stage wearing comfortable shoes. Like, that was, and I think he was kind of being funny. I don't think he was being serious. Like, oh, you guys can't wear Vans on stage because they're comfortable. Well,
yeah.
Vans is like a staple of, well, the Vans Warped tour, for crying out loud.
Yeah, they have
to wear. Yeah, I think it's part of the rider.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, when you said he's up on stage wearing comfortable shoes, I was like, is that where she's going with this? Wow. Tying the half Japanese into the nowadays.
If the dude from Half Japanese can wear Crocs, you can wear Skechers proudly.
I think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is the lesson I've learned today.
And Skechers still hasn't called for me to help them with their marketing, Matt, just so you know.
They will. They will. I know it. They will.
After so I don't you, know if you heard you it, Jen, but to... I went off for like 15 minutes on Skechers and their marketing to men of a certain age. But we won't get into that again. That's episode 1 or 2.
Exactly.
There's one thing we didn't get to that I totally wanted to get to.
What?
And I still want to hear it. You had a list of songs that reminded you of Radio X, and
we never
didn't even get to it. We were too
probably because of my big mouth. We just kept talking about something like my comfortable shoes or something dumb like that.
Yeah. So MXPX, Let's Go to the Punk Rock Show.
Of course.
I still listen to that song.
Yeah.
Bumblebee Tuna. Anything by Godhead Silo.
Oh, Godhead Silo. I forgot about them.
Like, I should have done this earlier, but oh well, sorry.
That's okay.
Rodan, Everyday World of Bodies. I mean, that's definitely something like Josh and like Dill would play the hell out of Jesse too. And then Jesse realized that, you know, they were playing it. So then he kind of went on to some
of
stuff a little more obscure.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. Two people have played this. I can't play this anymore.
Yeah. Blur song number 2.
Oh, yes. Right. Yeah. That got a lot of play.
Too much.
Oh,
yeah,
my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Cowboys from Hell by Pantera.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Now I remember that, too.
There's a fun story about Metal Jen that I don't. Metal Jen didn't show up very often.
No.
But when she did, I remember I was playing something from Megadeth. It might have been In My Darkest Hour or something from that album. And you're like, I had this T-shirt. I also had the bullet belt to go with it.
I did. Oh, I was a huge Dave Mustaine fan when I was a kid.
Really? Oh, man. I remember. I was like, this is going to be all right. We're going to get along just
fine. Yeah. Oh, you know, I was going to mention earlier, you know, about the concerts. I had tickets to the Megadeth show last year, and now it's been postponed to like this year. And now I don't even know if I want to go or not. You know,
is it the one that's up at Soaring Eagle?
No, Pine Knob.
Because they're doing one at Soaring Eagle in July, I guess. It's like them, Lamb of God.
Yep.
And I can't remember who. Funny story about Lamb of God. I had their demo at the X when they were Burn the Priest.
Oh my gosh!
Burn the Priest.
I think I do. And I have a letter from, I think it was Randy Blythe, the lead singer.
Oh, wow.
I went online and I was just I would email any band I could find to get him to send me something. And they were, at that time, they were Burn the Priest. Them and a group called Imagica. Those are the ones that I remember that sent me the most stuff.
I forgot also, now that we're mentioning all the stuff we forgot, Sluice wanted to know if Jen remembered anything about the Redheaded Stepchildren demo tape he found that he still has.
Oh, do I remember anything about it?
Yeah. Who was in that band, Redheaded Stepchildren?
Jeff Heineman and
Mike Porter.
Mike Porter. Just us three.
Oh, okay.
Nobody else.
Sluice still has a demo tape from that.
Oh, wow.
And they were famous for the hit song Truffle Shuffle.
Were we?
Yeah, when Mike would stand up and pull his shirt up and do the Truffle Shuffle.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
We never had our shit together either. I mean, this is so funny. One time, Mike and I decided we were going to make our own lighting system.
This is gonna go well. Ooh, I feel it.
So we had somehow he got a hold of like this some like a light stick or something like that had like these light bulbs on it, and he got some old coffee cans, and we drilled holes in these coffee cans just enough so that we could, you know, stick the light bulbs in. And then we were like, oh, well, they need to have color, right?
Sure.
So we got like some transfer paper that, you know, you would have put like an overhead or something. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
As somebody who does shows professionally,
yeah,
I can totally see where this is going.
Yeah. So okay. So we got this set up. We're like, all right, cool. Let's take it to the pub. So we set them up at the pub, and they started smoking, and the plastic transfers were melting. I think we might have like broke a circuit or something like that. And Betty,
you're all lucky to be alive.
Yeah, really. Yeah, absolutely.
Seriously,
I know. Seriously,
oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, and more. Yeah, not just that, but like other things. You know, like you know. Like making a monitor system out of like speakers that did not have any kind of power system to them, and blowing up as well. Well, not blowing up, but, you know, starting on fire. You know, we started these little forest fires.
Controlled burns.
Yeah, it controlled burns.
So the Village Pub invited you because you guys were kind of like the Spinal Tap of the Village Pub. Burning, setting monitors on fire, setting lights on fire.
But yeah, I remember them saying, I think you should probably not use that lighting system. okay.
That's fair.
Mike was sheepish and I was sheepish, and we just kind of, okay.
Nice. It must have been bad if Mike was sheepish, because he generally was not sheepish.
No, he wasn't. I just looked at him and he had this like shit-eating grin on his face, and he was just kind of like, "Whoops." Yeah.
But we didn't fit. All right. We sidetracked you again. We didn't. I want to get to the end of your list.
Oh, okay.
Holy smokes.
Let's see. Let me pull this back up again. Ozzy Osbourne Crazy Train.
Really?
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I used to hear that like every Tuesday.
Yeah, sorry about that. That's probably me.
But Jason, I used to always, you know, ask you to play Rat for me.
Oh yeah.
Because I still love Round and Round.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
I heard Lay It Down today and it still rocks. It's good.
Yeah. Okay. Atari Teenage Riot, the Deutschland Must Die song. Do you guys remember that?
No.
I remember them, but not that song in particular.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good one to bring up. That one's like pretty much like very similar to like that half Japanese song. It's very noisy and distorted. Kind of drum and bassy though.
Hmm.
So it's like,
yeah, they were on the edge of that early on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know. I like that song. And then there were other, you know, songs by them that I think Rude Girl Julie liked to play, you know, that I don't think I quite liked as much as that one, but still. And then Digger, I Want My Hat Back.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. God, that song was on all the time after they played up there.
Oh, that, you know what, that stupid show that they played at was such a fucking nightmare.
Was it really?
Oh, yeah.
So what are you guys listening to now lately, recently?
So I listen to a lot of stuff that I can focus on work with. So this is going to make me sound incredibly lame.
Awesome. I can't.
Because,
wait.
You know, I'm no longer rocking out because I'm
welcome to the club. You're with two lamos right now.
Right.
I hope it's Enya. So, please say Enya.
No, there's, but it's kind of in that genre. So there's this very, very nice, band, or it's more like an artist. And her name is Sign Libra. And she's from Latvia. And you can find her videos on YouTube or Night Flight. If you watch like the old Night Flights on YouTube, I think it's on. Hmm. Yeah, it might be on like Amazon. But anyway, it's just really peaceful sounding, And she does like these, you know, pretty like vocal harmonies. I like her. And then I like listening to Coco Rosie.
Rosie. I have so much homework.
Coco Rosie. It's a band of two sisters. Not twins, but you know, two sisters.
Is one named Coco and the other's name is Rosie?
Correct.
Nice.
Except that I think they have like, you know, like one's Bianca and the other one's I can't remember what the other one's name is. But one of them does.
Not Bianca.
Bunny.
Right. But one of them is really good with like the experimental keyboard stuff, and like children toys and like sampling. One's really good with that. And then the other one is like a trained opera singer. So like whenever she sings, I mean, it just kind of makes the whole thing sound like this weird like fairy tale.
So how do you find music like this? Like what places do you look to get music that isn't what you would find mainstream?
Yeah. Sign Libra, I found from watching Night Flight one night, and I thought she was so weird and cool. And I just kind of like looked her up. Coco Rosie, I used to be part of like a knitting group maybe 10 years ago. And somebody was playing Coco Rosie, and I asked what it was, and then I liked it. So I've just been listening to it since.
Hmm.
They've got like a lot of material, and some of it gets kind of on the dark side, but it's, I don't know, it's just amazing. It's so creative. And
I went really and looked up Sign Libra on the YouTubes while you guys were talking about it. It's interesting what comes up when you search for Sign Libra. Now the band comes up. It's there. They're there.
Okay.
Right.
But also the third video down is each zodiac sign reveals a monster hiding inside each of us.
Whoa.
What's yours?
Oh my gosh.
So I didn't click on it because I mean, I'm not
You'll have nightmares.
I'm a Pisces, so mine's got to be fish of some sort. But
yeah.
Right. And like there's like dark side of the Libras, unknown dark side of Libra zodiac sign, Libra negative personality. I'm like, wow, TikToks. Here we go. TikToks only Libras are allowed to watch. How do you even filter that? I work in tech. I want to know.
Wow. TikTok. If TikTok gets involved, I'm scared.
So yeah, I went and looked up sign Libra. Yeah, there's one. The first one that comes up song for them is Sea of Islands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. In fact, I think I have a record of hers, and it's all like tropical themed.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And you hear like some like kind of like, you know, kind of like some Asian sort of chords in it. I definitely get that kind of like, you know, a vibe from it.
I have so much homework this week, man.
It's really nice.
I filled a notepad already with all the stuff.
And that's why I suggested Jen.
Yeah.
Because I told her when I was, you know, asking her if she wanted to join this, and she said, yeah. And I said, you know, kind of pick out some music. We'll talk about it. And I said, by the way, because of you is why I listen to June of 44 still.
Ah, nice.
And then she's like, I found a June of 44 poster on eBay. And I was like, yeah, see, that was a good pick. I knew picking Jen was a good one.
Excellent. Jace, what have you been listening to?
What have I been listening to?
Yeah.
This week has been, I don't know, it's just been a week at work. And not to put my feet up and dig into the psyche of what's going on at work. But it's a lot of my normal stuff that I've been listening to. A lot of Frank Turner, like I always listen to. I listen to, actually, I just got done saying I've been listening to singer-songwriter stuff, but I've been listening to a lot of 80s metal.
Oh, nice.
Which is very Jace the Ace.
Yeah. Yep.
Like today when you guys were talking about the Metallica vinyl, I was listening to Ride the Lightning today.
Awesome. Yeah.
Which is arguably my favorite album by them. I don't know, Kill 'Em All is right up there, but Ride the Lightning is so good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some things just never go out of style, I would say.
Lots of podcasts, of course. I started listening to Things That Go Boom. I may have brought this one up last time.
Last time, actually, we talked about the cars that go boom.
Oh, we did talk about the cars that go boom. Thank you, Bunny. Things That Go Boom, You're Wrong About, and of course, Going Off Track, and then my staple that I have to listen to all the time, Stuff They Don't Want You to Know.
So you listen to You're Wrong About.
Yeah, I listen to You're Wrong About. Jen, do you listen to any of those?
No, I've never heard of those.
Yeah,
You're Wrong About is very interesting.
Is good. They talk about really fun topics, and they do it in a conversational way, but they do a lot of good research. Like, it's two people talking about, say, the history of vaccines, or
that was the one I was just listening to.
Tipper Gore versus the music industry. Like, those were two really good episodes, and they just tell you about basically everything that happened from that sort of moment in history when Tipper Gore decided, I'm buying my kid the Purple Rain album, and then all hell broke loose.
Like,
from that moment, it caused every record to have a parental sticker on it that had any sort of explicit lyrics, because she bought her daughter Purple Rain, and it had Darling Nikki on it. And if you know that song,
right.
She was a little bit surprised.
Yeah, I've listened to probably a handful of the episodes that they have. I do have a bone to pick with them about a few things, but it's not like they're going to let me call them up and chew their ear on it. But I listened to the one that was about the obesity epidemic. And although there's a lot of things I agree with, mm-hmm. I'm like, there's like a core part of your argument that I don't think works. But that's just me.
You should write.
I'm no scientist.
Let me know what you want me to say. I'll tweet them. I've been tweeting. This is a new world for me. Jen, did you ever get involved in Twitter?
Just a little bit. I can't really say this because it's political, so I get
it. Yeah. Oh, you can say political as long as we're not going like crazy down.
I was trolling a couple of
politicians. Oh, that's appropriate.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, and that's really about it. But I might actually get on and like look at the X Radio X account, because I heard that
I've been tweeting and like crazy, and I've discovered that there is a world on Twitter of podcasters, and they are multitudes, and they all, and the thing is, it's, they're all really supportive. So that the good news is they like, it's not like, you know, competition. They all like each other and they all promote each other, and they have silly names like Pod Nation or Podern Family, or I don't know.
They're punny.
Podney Dangerfield. I don't know, but they're all like different.
Did you just come up with that one?
Yeah, I just
that's good. That's
really all right. Copyright 2021.
It might exist, but I just thought of it now. But the cool thing is, some of the people who are fellow podcasters, our brothers and sisters in the world of podcasting, have started listening to our podcast because of the tweets. And someone, and I apologize, I forgot who it was, but a couple people have reached out to say comments about some of the episodes that they listen to. So if you're listening as a result of the world of Twitter, thanks for tuning in. That's really awesome.
Wow.
And also because of the world of Twitter, Jace, you need to know this. The middle name of our podcast is Marie Danger. So our podcast's full name is X Radio Marie Danger X. In case anyone asks, if you need to like take the podcast to the doctor or anything, that's the middle.
I'm not even sure where all this came from.
It's one of those things. So one of those groups, one of those podcasting groups, posted some message that said, if your podcast had a middle name, what would it be? And I said Marie, because I thought that was cute. And then I thought, wait, no, Danger. And I said, it's Marie Danger. So that's the full name.
Marie Danger.
Yeah. Marie Danger. Wow.
Yeah. It works.
So I actually started putting some pictures out on the Instagram account, Matt.
Nice.
Now, granted, the first picture was of none of us. It was of Wendy O. Williams doing something, and the guitar player, the bass player to be specific, behind her looked exactly like Johnny Depp.
Oh,
so I had to put it out there and, you know, be a smart ass and say, when did Johnny Depp started playing for Wendy O. Williams?
Wow. All right. I'm going to take a look at that soon.
I got one heart on it. Like somebody hearted it. I think I'm going with that means they liked it. We sound like such Luddites. So I got this computer and I'm on the internet now.
Baby steps, man. Baby steps.
Yeah. And it's my stepdaughter, though, is very proud of us, though, Matt. I figured I didn't want to not bring this up. Because I was standing in the kitchen. I'm like, you know, how do we get more people to listen to this? Because right now it's very DIY. Tell your friends, you know, they tell two friends and so on and so on.
Yep.
She's like, are you using hashtags at all?
Ah. So using hashtags.
And I said, I don't think so. I said, I'm not. I think Matt is on Twitter. She's like, you got to hashtag everything, Jason.
Yeah.
Hashtag it.
Everything. So,
I've started hashtagging as much as I can remember to put out there that corresponds. And so she took a snapshot of the story that comes up because I think it's called your Instagram story.
Uh-huh.
And she sent it back to me and basically said, I'm so proud. So I got a 19-year-old saying, well, I'm doing something right on the internet. I feel like that's a win.
Oh, right. Beautiful.
You've come a long way.
Even though I can write web pages and stuff, but
yeah. So I have to give a shout out to Between Two Studs. That's a podcast that I've been checking out.
I thought that was the other name of our podcast.
That's what we've been calling it between ourselves. Turns out there's an official podcast called that. So that's a cool one. These two guys know like somebody from every possible life or every possible career choice, and they interview them. So they like know someone who is a professional comic book writer. They know someone who's a geologist. They know someone who, like, all these different things. So if you're interested in, you know, checking that out, that's another one, Between Two Studs with two D's, stud-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-s. And then music wise, I can't wait for Silk Sonic's album to drop because that's my new jam. Have you? I know, Jace, I know you heard it because I sent you the link. But Jen, have you heard Silk Sonic?
No, but I'm looking at the members of Silk Sonic and this looks amazing.
Oh, it's just, it's,
it is
the way that I, the way that I described it to a couple different people is it's so like earnestly soulful that it almost seems like a parody. Like they're so R&B that you're like, are they making fun of R&B? But no, they're genuinely that. It's just really cool. And the only song that they've released, Leave the Door Open, is really cool, but they have this, they also release this little intro that I don't know what they're doing, but they, for some reason, they play this little song and then they say, ladies and gentlemen, Bootsy Collins. And then Bootsy Collins comes on. And he's like, oh yeah, baby.
Oh my God.
And he just ad-libs something about, you know, fellas, I hope you have a drink in your hand. And I mean, he's just like, it's almost a parody, but it's not.
It's so cliche. It's awesome.
Yeah. Wow. It's so good. Yeah. So definitely check that out for a good soul song. Leave the Door Open is really good, but that's really all I've been listening to.
Definitely. That sounds cool.
So is this that time then, Matt? Are we
yeah, I think
are
it's
we
that
winding
time.
Down?
I think we really have to.
Is it time to put a drink in your hand and
it's time.
Put your feet up.
Yeah.
Light
baby.
That fireplace.
It's Bootzilla. But we have to thank Jen for being here. Jen, it was so cool to talk to you. And we have, this is like the most music homework that I've ever had and we do this every time. Like every time one of us mentions an artist that we aren't familiar with, we write it down and we try to like listen later. And it's fun. Like some of the coolest stuff that I have never found. And so I have a lot of notes. So thank you for giving me lots of homework. I'm excited to research Western Goth. But thank you for coming on the podcast. It was so fun. Did you have a decent time?
Yeah, this was so, it was great to catch up with you guys. And I had a good time. Yeah. Thank you again for having me tonight.
It was our pleasure. So we always end with a lyric or a quote mm-hmm. from an artist. And you were kind enough to give us something to say from Wesley Willis, right?
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I guess I'll start and then we'll see where this goes. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Rock over London.
Rock on Chicago.
Diet Pepsi. Uh-huh.
All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning
We're
in.
X Radio X. All right, that's the end. I'm going to hold on. This is the clapboard. Now we know where to sync the audio.
We should just tell people it's an hour and a half because well, it's never been an hour.
I think this is just our thing. I think this is just what it is.
Yeah. We tell people it's an hour long and it's not.
Yeah, we're going to be hour and a half, guys.